Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this day that you have given us and this wonderful worship, God. All glory to your name. And as we dive into your word right now, we just pray, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, you would be glorified. And as we, Lord, start this new series, that you would use it to feed your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, I got to do some cardio here real quick this morning. There we go. That will be all that I will do today. So, Sunday, Sabbath. Well, it's great to see y'all, and I'm really excited as these last many weeks we've been talking about Amazing Grace, and this morning, Pastor Carlos and myself will be starting a sermon series about revival. And when you hear the word revival, if you're a guest this morning, it's a word that us Christians use, but it's really what our hearts long for, because those of us that know Jesus, we want others to know Jesus. We want them to know the security of that they're going to heaven and not hell, that they're saved, and see the freedom that comes in this life from following God's word and obeying him, because he loves us like we sing about. And I'm really excited for it. This is a church that for 110 years on and off has seen revival. I think that we're seeing some of it now. I know that we all want more, and it's really exciting to me. And you know, we all want revival, right? Everybody in their heart thinks, well, of course we want people to come to Jesus and for our churches to grow and for there to be redemption and reconciliation and marriage, families, relationships, and all the other great stuff. That's just the start of what revival brings. We all want it, but the real question is, what are we willing to do to see it happen, right? We all want it, right? But what it really takes for revival to happen is for you and I, all of us collectively, to do something that is absolutely no fun. And it's to look in the mirror. I know, right? We would have revival. I think we'd have revival if y'all people would start and stop all this stuff, right? Or me too. And that's the fact of it, right? Revival, also, it's going to take hard work. So revival in God's churches, and we want it to come in every church in the world, every church in Hoopston, amen? We want it. There's plenty of room for it. But revival is kind of like, we want revival, amen, yes, amen, right? Revival's like, I want to lose 20 pounds, but when they ask me, do I want fries with that, I say, amen, yes. It's hard. Like, you can do a side salad, I'm like, oh, I'll take the fries. I could go to church, I could tithe, I could serve, I could forgive people, I could come to Jesus Revolution, I could march in the parade, I could read my Bible every day, but I could also not. I could also make excuses why I don't do those things, and then we don't get revival. And so now in today's world, it's just, let's just blame the pastors. Let's blame the other people. Let's blame the young people, the old people. Republicans blame the Democrats, and they blame the Republicans, and then all the men blame the women, and on and on and on, right? But what really generally happens is what Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4. It says, all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and by the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. Let's just right there for a moment. We're all guilty of it, right? It's just what happens. Worries. And when Jesus is not number one and we're not obeying, it's an issue. And we need to seek him more and other things less. And there's a lot of things that we seek and go after that take our time and energy and resources that are good, but are they in their right place? It's a question we need to ask ourselves this morning, right? We tend to have this tendency to choose the ways of the world, even us as believers, right? And the deal is we need Jesus, we need church, we need each other. And we need to remind ourselves that nothing significant is going to happen around us and in our church and in our community if we're not willing to let the Lord do something significant in us. That's something to write down if you're taking notes. You're not going to see significant things happen around us if we're not willing to yield and let him and surrender and obey and let him do significant things in us. And that's the work that we're all looking for, right? In our hearts and in our lives. And so, where are our hearts at this morning? We want revival to happen. It's where our hearts at. And really what today is going, where we're going with this, if you want to title it, today is for revival to happen, we need to revive our identities. What's your identity this morning? We're gonna go there in a moment, right? So let me ask you, do you want God to do something significant for you this morning? Amen, right? Yes, we all do. We have prayers, things we're asking God for, things we're believing God for. We want God to do significant things for us, right? Do you want God to do significant things in you? And I hope the answer is just as much a resounding yes. Just as much a resounding yes, right? We're going to talk pride and forgiveness and all kinds of stuff Pastor Carlos has a couple fantastic messages he's going to give, and we're going to do 6-7 weeks, whatever it is, talking about revival, which is what we should all want. And if you're here, do we want revival? Do we want to see people come to Jesus, see the church grow, and you're honestly a little bit like, meh, then you need revival. You need it in your heart, right? And today, it's just so important for revival to happen. We have to have the right identity. Now, when we hear that word, it's a hot topic nowadays, so we're all like, identity. Well, okay, well, you know, here we go, and all the ultra-conservatives, which is not a good or bad thing, depending on as long as your heart's right with Jesus, we're like, yeah, this identity stuff, and there's some ridiculous stuff going on in the world, right? But as followers of Jesus, that's where our identity just must be rooted. You think about roots, right? Okay? If our roots are in Jesus and Him alone, and everything else goes from there, you know, I want to be a good husband and father and responsible and be a blessing to my community and financially responsible and on all day. All that stuff will be added. I need to be rooted in Jesus, and so do you. Because what do roots do? Roots feed the rest of the tree, right? And so for our worldview and our hearts and our everything to be right, we have to be rooted in an identity in Jesus. And everything comes out of there. But so often these other cares of the world get in there, and that's where things get messed up. So if I ask you this morning, what's your identity? Like, number one thing you identify as, if we took the time to pass the microphone around, right, and be here till supper time, say, my name is this, and I am, like, what's the first thing you would say? Don't shout it out, but be honest. What's the first thing you would say? A lot of you would say what you do for a living. That's a good thing. You'd say, I'm so-and-so's husband or wife or mother or father, and right? But, you know, we should say, you know, the first thing I would say is I'm a follower of Jesus. He saved my soul, my life, my marriage, my family, my everything. And that's number one. And then I might say, I'm a man. I'm a, you know, married heterosexual man. I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan, which is hard to admit right now, but I am. Politically, I don't really care, to be honest, that much. But why is this so important? Because in Jesus, as our true identity, as our true identity, and if He's our true identity, is that what you're living out day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year? Or are we posing? Are we dressing up like Halloween, right? Because the Bible says to clothe ourselves in Christ. So we think about that. Clothes matter, right? They just do. A lot of you look nice this morning, right? You really do. All of you, fine. That's cool. Nowadays, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody looks wonderful this morning, right? But let's think about what we wear, because the Bible says to clothe ourselves with Christ. It's our everything, because what we wear matters. Let me ask you this morning, we think about clothing in America. When I looked it up, it's about a $400 billion industry in just America, right? The clothing industry. And if you've ever taken your kids shopping or went for yourself, you know that that's a real thing, right? What we wear matters, and it's just like being clothed with Christ, okay? So if you see people in a certain jersey, sports fans, it matters, right? Oh, that they're a fan. Like if you're, you know, like a Steelers fan and you see a Ravens jersey, Cardinals, Cubs, Michigan, Ohio State, like I don't know, like, you know, all that stuff, it matters. And you're thinking those people need Jesus if they're wearing that jersey, right? We do it, right? If I were preaching this morning, and if you've known me or get to know me, I don't know about Pastor Carlos for sure, but I don't really touch politics. So, like, imagine if I came in wearing a shirt that was very pro the current president or the past president or a candidate. There'd be a section of you that would not listen to me this morning. Just a fact. Well, I don't care what he has to say. It's just the unfortunate world that we live in. Likewise, when we as followers of Jesus, when we don't love well, when we don't live holy and righteous and we don't act like Christians, the world's probably thinking, I don't care what they have to say. Call themselves a Christian, but look how they treat people. And clothing ourselves with Christ, guys, is really, really, really important. It really is. And so we should be less concerned maybe about Sunday morning's physical clothing and the most concerned. As a pastor for 13 years, before COVID and in years past, you know, like I've got like an Under Armour shirt on. There are people that would criticize as the pastor, if you don't wear a suit, you're not a real pastor. I would really hear those things. And I'm thinking, you know, that, are you crazy? Like, what are you talking about? And they would come in, they would say, we're supposed to give God our all and give God our best. I said, well, He doesn't mean clothing. And, oh, yes, it does. And I'd say, well, I always had an answer. I would say, well, cool. When the offering plate comes, I can't wait to see you give God your all this morning. Like, ha, 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 right? But it just, to me, that doesn't matter as much as how we're treating people, right? And the Bible says in Romans 13, right, talks about how urgent it is. It says, this is all the more urgent for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Clothing ourselves with the presence of Jesus. It's not what this sermon's about, but it's why you've got to be in the Word. It's why you've got to be worshiping. It's why you've got to be in church. It's why you've got to come to groups, et cetera, et cetera. This is so, so, so important. Is your identity giving off the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? It's just a question we should ask ourselves, because we all have our struggles and we all have our stuff, right? It's going to affect the direction of our life. It's an extremely important question and answer. Are you clothing yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus, right? That will cause us to be identified as, because we are identifying ourselves as followers of Jesus. And we have this right identity, right? And identity is a big deal, right? And again, there's lots of things we can officially identify as. So there aren't actually two or even three genders or identities. I looked it up earlier, maybe this week, last week, and so it's probably changed. But when I looked it up, there were 52 genders right now. That's how many there are. Not three or four, there's 52. Now, it's probably 60 by now because that was a week ago, but there's 52. And it's okay. Listen, I'm not here to harp on that. I don't care at all. But for us as followers of Jesus, there's just one. Because the Bible even says there's not male nor female, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? So anything else. Now, I know a lot of people, like you can identify as like an animal, a cloud, an object. Some of the more common ones that we all identify as, again, Democrat, Republican. I know people, trust me, and I'm a little bit of a sports guy, but their identity is, and especially if you're a Steelers fan, you guys are serious, like, bless your hearts. And that's cool, right? We also let our successes identify us. Some people let and live in our failures. What's been done to us, what we've done, past mistakes, even successes. Maybe what life has dealt us. When church, our identity should be whose we are. We are Jesus. We are His. We are His redeemed. We are His missionaries. We are all of these things. We must stop identifying with even whether it be good things, bad things, successes, failures. But listen, I identify as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, and I'm concerned about what He has now and what He has for the future and how I can be the best Christ follower I can be. That's it. John 1:12 says, all who believed and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. You're a child of God. We don't revel in that like often enough. We just don't. We sing about it. We read it. We know it. But we don't let it permeate us. We don't clothe ourselves in it. Because too often we have dirty clothes on. Well, I identify, here's what I am. This is my last name. Or this is what I do for a living. Or this is, you know, I used to be this or that, right? It's like if you kids have older parents, you hear them talk about something. Maybe it was their sports accomplishments or things back when they were, when I was your age, right, and all this stuff. We identify with past stuff, and it's cool to tell those stories, and I say it's cool because I tell them sometimes, so therefore it's okay. But we think about all those things, right? And so oftentimes we're looking for identity, and let me tell you, I'm 47 years old. I've seen it. You know, here's how tame the world was back in my day. Like if you wanted to get attention, you got your ear pierced, right? Nobody had tattoos back then. Like all these things we do to identify, they're not bad necessarily. No, I'm not saying that by any means. But we do all these things to get attention because we want identified, to identify or identify as or be recognized as or really to be seen and heard. We don't feel seen and heard nowadays, right? Everything is drowning us out. But the issue is, the farther we get away from God as a society, as individuals, as a culture, the more ridiculous the things we want to be identified as become. Because we're farther from God. Our cries become really more hopeless when we forget we were created, you exist, you breathe, and everybody on earth does for a one-on-one relationship with God. An intimate, personal, daily relationship, and this can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. We search for it in all these other different kinds of ways, and because of it, we just get farther and farther and farther away. It's a personal relationship with Jesus. And if we don't go to the one true source, if we're not going to Scripture, if we're not going to Him, as we've seen all throughout the history of mankind and we're seeing now, we'll go to anything, won't we? We'll choose anything. See, we're all just looking for this. It's God's design to have this relationship with Him. And God designed everything. The universe itself, again, hundreds of billions of galaxies. Do you know approximately how many cells are in your body? 37 trillion. Not million, not billion, trillion. Each one's like a little computer. God designed, God knows what He's doing. God's a lot smarter than us. Now, one of the things the enemy will use and all throughout time, and I was this way, especially when I was younger, is I am so smart, right? And again, you probably already heard me say, this is my favorite weird example. You'll get used to my weird examples. Your brain and my brain would fit in the Yeti. We use 10% of it. Some people not that much. And we think we know better than God. Started in the garden. Eat the fruit, don't eat y'all. Oh, you know, what does God know? Just go ahead and eat it. It's fine. How'd that work out? And we do that in our personal lives. God has design. Like, you know, since Isaiah and I are over here through the week, kind of just the two guys, if you don't know our situation, it's you know, we're kind of back and forth for these next many months. But we're using a lot of plastic silverware because we don't want to wash dishes. And generally, supper is like chips and salsa and whatever Joe and Debbie bless us with. Bless their hearts, no. But like, people bring food. But we're using a lot of plastic silverware, right? So a plastic fork is a wonderful thing, but it has a design, right? There are certain things plastic forks are not good for. They're not good for cutting meat. They break really easy, right? They're designed for like light use, okay? And sometimes if I'm starving, I get really excited. I bite and break it by biting on. Anybody ever done that? Does that make you feel like a pig? Like, oh my goodness, it's terrible. But it's not good for, say, like spreading butter, like hard butter. It's not good for cutting things because it breaks in half, right? Anybody here ever use a circle saw for anything? It's a great tool, has its design. What if you tried to trim your fingernails with it? How would that go? Well, that would be ugly, right? Things have a design and things have a use and things have a situation where they work. And when we misuse and misidentify, the results aren't good. And all of human creation from the beginning until now, we're misusing and misidentifying our identity, often our sexuality, often our words, our time, our talents, our resources. But our identity, when misused, is really a bigger deal, because if we don't start that God made me, God loves me, God created me, and I'm His, we're going to be on the wrong road. And for revival to happen in the church, every follower of Jesus, and if you're not one yet, I'm so thankful you're here, that you can hear this, and I hope you make that decision today or soon, because your eternity depends on it. But for right now, today, I'm so thankful that we know what our identity is. And so a lot of things that are even good, we put in front of Jesus. We misidentify when we do that as well. Things become idols. And again, that's anything put before God that shouldn't be. We identify as Christ. We start from there and everything else will fall into place. Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His right. Seek Jesus first. Seek God's kingdom first and all these other things will be added. We start there. My grandpa was kind of my spiritual hero in life. He lived into his mid-90s, went home to be with Jesus, very successful, fantastic life. But he owned car dealerships, like Ford dealerships, and that's a stressful industry. The guy just rolled for 50 years, not worrying because Jesus was first. And all the economic ups and downs and goods and bads, Matthew 6:33, I probably heard it 1,000 times. Just seek Him first. All these other things will be added. It'll take care of itself. God's good. God will provide. And He sure did. For revival to happen, we must make sure we're getting our identity right. We're going to read our few verses today in Colossians chapter 2, if you have a Bible or device. Colossians chapter 2. And the church that was written to in Colossians, their deal was, it was a kind of a casserole of beliefs in that city, right? It was like the world nowadays. It's just, you know what? Oh, whoever can be God, whatever can be God, all different kinds of religions and things and beliefs, and you make your own truth and all those kind of things, right? But the Bible tells us, as Paul writes in Colossians 2, chapter 4, he says, now I say this, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. See, the enemy is the best liar and deceiver in the history of the universe. And if I get on my phone right now and get on Carla's Facebook, or I get on Instagram, or I read the news, or I turn the TV on, or anything, there's going to be words and things that are there to deceive us. You do understand that, right? Enemy is constantly trying to twist things and get in our head. And he's like, I'm writing this so that we're not deceived with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, this is Paul writing back to the church. He says, I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So it's not just, I'm saved, I believe in God. It's walking with him. It's a daily thing. Be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. There's another thing. And life can be hard. Life can be tough. Like, I'm just going to, right now, I'm probably living the most difficult season I've lived since like 2006 and 7. I'm apart from some of my family. Like, I'm back and forth, a lot of moving parts in life. It's really tough right now. But my joy is not going anywhere because it's rooted in Jesus. Because God's good. It's all part of his plan. And you know what? It works together for good. He is good. And I'm going to live with thanksgiving. Amen? We need to live with more thanksgiving. Especially some people, there's times I catch myself, you know, it's like saying this or that. I'm like, man, that's such a first world problem. Like, oh my goodness, let me just retract that I even complained about that, right? And beware lest anyone cheat us through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And there's the identity. There's the roots. What's the Word of God say about this? I can feel however I want. I can think whatever I want. I can be wired however I might be. It's what does the Word of God say about things. Amen? Amen. That is our identity right there. That's it. That's what he's writing us there. Christ must be the foundation of our beliefs and actions, right? Remove tradition, remove the establishments of this world, remove the way we've already done things, or these things are always done things. They're all temporary and hollow. What does Jesus say? And God has so much more for us. And he's writing to the church in Colossians because it was a dark world and a dark time spiritually around them, just like the world has always lived and just like we're living now. And he's writing to remind them about who their identity is in and the hope that is in that, right? The church was under attack from the world back then, right? Just like it certainly is now. And he goes on and writes in verses 20 through 22. Says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why as though living in the world do you subject yourselves to regulations? Don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, which all concern things with perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. He's saying, listen, church, this is about freedom in Christ. Not freedom to sin or do whatever we want, but freedom to not squabble with especially the ways of the world. And in the church, we're bad enough about squabbling about God's ways. Amen? Instead of focusing on our identity in Jesus and focusing on worship and focusing on thankfulness and focusing on reaching people who are without Jesus, we find stuff to fight about in the church. Not as much here. And I mean, praise God for that. And we're not going to be doing that because that's not God's will. But back to the context of today, why do we care so much about the world and its systems and beliefs? They suck us in and we lose our identity. So back then you had in Colossae, you had like, you kind of had the godless, you had kind of the world, and you kind of had the legalist in addition to the church and those that were doing things kind of the right way, right? So we know the godless, they were just perverted. They were anything goes. We see that all over the world today, right? We had the legalists. The world didn't care as much about the church, and now the world doesn't, and because they've been told the church is bad, which is ridiculous. Then we had the people in the church who were the legalists, right? They wanted to like fuss about everything, and everything had to be just right, and so-so, and Paul's like, this is not what Jesus meant and what he came and died for, right? And back then, you also had the Gnostics. Their identity was like, yeah, there's a God, but in a universe or whatever, but blah, 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 anything goes, mysticism and horoscopes and anything, any way to God is good, right? The Gnostics were like the Oprahs of the first century, right? Nobody watches Oprah anymore? Okay. Oprah believes that any way to God is good and it's not just Jesus and all that, right? And Satan loves this when we get into this, right? But let me give you a logic bomb this morning. When Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life and the only way to the Father, there's only one of two things that come out of that statement. He was crazy or he was right. There's nothing in between. Can't be. Can't be. Nothing in between can be true. He either was, is, and always will be, or he was a lunatic. And we know that's not the case. The enemy of your soul would love nothing more than you to be deceived about your identity, whether you're already a Christian this morning or whether you're not, right? He wants kind of a godless agenda, a grab bag of faith and life, right? And there's an old saying, remember, it's twice as hard to crush a half-truth as it is a whole lie. Let's remember that. When we think about identity, we think about truth, right? That's a glimpse into Satan's playbook. He wants us confused. And we're confused nowadays. Look at the world. Always has been, but look. Look at all the stuff we're identifying with and as and into. And even in the church, we're confused. We're doing things. Churches, we'll call them that, are doing things that are explicitly black and white against what God's Word says. And I'll just go ahead and I might offend my brother. I'll speak for Pastor Carlos. We're never going to do that here. Amen. It's what the Word of God says. It's what the Word of God says. Now listen, when we do that, even sometimes you get came at from within the church. People can be judgmental and hateful and intolerant, right? Like, where is their identity? 2 Timothy 3 talks about having a form of godliness but denying its power. And it says to stay away from such people. It's a warning, right? Colossians, back to chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Talking about Jesus. Back to Jesus. Back to our identity. Back to the point of everything. Everything of God gets expressed in Him so you can see and hear Him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and all the emptiness of the universe without Him. When you come to Him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in insiders. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. Amen? Let's be an amening church. Jesus did it for you. He destroyed the power of sin in your life. And a telescope and a microscope are just going to point to God the Father, right? The intelligent desire. Remember, you've got 30, however many trillion cells in your body it was. I think 37 trillion. Not million, not billion, but trillion. That didn't happen by accident. That's God's design. Your identity is you're a child of God. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Before you were formed in the womb, God knew you. That brings me such joy. I have fantastic parents, but God's my Father. Before you were formed in the womb, He knew you. You were loved. You can't earn that. Go out now. You got to earn love in the world, right? That's what Ricky Bobby said. You got to win to get love. You got to earn it. That's not God's system. That is not God's design. His design, just soak it in. You're loved. There's your identity. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. Jesus has adopted you into the family of God. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Says, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Are we seeing a theme this morning about our identity that will cause revival in our hearts, lives, churches, families, and communities? Rooted in Jesus, thankful, living for Him, living in this freedom. That's what it is. Is your life, is your identity, are your roots rooted in Jesus, or is there too much other stuff tangled up in there? So often we're like plants that aren't healthy, right? But you know what happens? We have a tree in our front yard in Huntington right now that we've got to take it down or cut out parts of it. There's like God prunes, right? There's parts of our lives this morning that need pruned. And it's so easy nowadays to get off track because we live in an anything goes kind of world, right? But God showed up through Jesus. He gave us life. But we so easily pick other things, right? And why do we do this? Because even in the church, too often we're spiritually immature. I'm just going to tell it like it is, right? Been there, done that. Sometimes probably can still even act that way. The Bible says we're tossed to and from, right? If you ask me today at 47, what's my desire in life, my identity? It is to love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Try to live as the best Christ follower I can. Help be part of seeing other people come to Jesus. Be a great husband and father. Grow God's kingdom in church. Try to do as much good as I can, even though I'm not good. Try to do as much good as I can. I could go on, right? Kind of mature, okay? But when I was a little kid, I was immature. And too often, we're too spiritually immature. So if you'd ask me what I wanted to do when I was a little kid, let me go over a quick few things. I wanted to be in the NBA. Yeah, that's funny. I'm 6'3 and white and can't jump. But I wanted to play in the major leagues, which maybe, you know, I could have went that direction, but I was too immature and too full of myself, right? At one point, after I saw the original, I was probably like 7 or 8 when it came out, the original Karate Kid. Then I wanted to do karate for a living, right? I know this is embarrassing, trust me. At one point I wanted to be an astronaut. At one point I wanted to be an FBI agent. My favorite TV show when I was really little was Chips. Anybody remember Chips? California Highway Patrol. I had actually had a uniform. I used to go around and arrest my grandparents and they had to make them give me bail money. I was entrepreneuring as a kid. Grandpa, it's going to be $2. They were so patient with me. I could go on, but this is embarrassing enough, right? I know you're laughing at me, not with me, and that's cool. I love you anyway. But my friends, this is not nearly as embarrassing as us Christians, those who were crucified with Christ and call ourselves Christians, identifying more with political party and movements and things that are explicitly against the Bible or sports teams or earthly family or sexual orientation or favorite athletes or Supreme Court justices or women's rights, men's rights, gun rights, environmental stuff. Some of these things are really important, but so many Christians identify more with that than with King Jesus. And that's our problem. It's what we have to fix. And I can't fix it for the world. I can't fix it even for you and your heart. It's your choice. But I want to be part of helping it be right here at the Hoopston First Church of God. Because that's how revival comes. We love, we respect, we are kind, we are good. But Jesus comes first. And we just love above all else. Because everything is summed up in this. Love each other and love people well. Love people that do us wrong well. Keep our mouth shut like Jesus did. He could have called every angel in heaven and it would have been over. And he took it for the good of the glory of God, the kingdom of God, and the salvation of all mankind. Amen. So what can we do about that? Where's your identity today? Colossians 2, verse 13. It says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ and forgave all of our sins. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. I maybe have said this before here. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm paying off your mortgage and all your debts. You'd be like, oh, praise Jesus. I get on Instagram and you'd tweet it out or X it out, whatever it is now, I don't know. Jesus did this for us. And we lose our thankfulness. We just take it for granted. I've been saved a long time and on and on and on. And you know, if we're not careful, we lose this. No matter where you are today, your victory and your identity are going to come only through Jesus. Can we have the band come back up? We're going to close here in just a moment. I want you to remember about your salvation this morning. If you're already a Christian, I want you to remember something. This is really important. Write this down. Post it on your social media today. Just remember, Christianity is received, not achieved. I tried it. So I'm guilty of that at times. I need to achieve. I need to be good enough. Like I need to be better. Like I've done so much wrong in my life and I know I'm forgiven, but like I just need to do more and more and more. And it's good to want to do more for the King. But Christianity is received and not achieved. It's the ultimate gift. You have a new identity in Christ if you're saved. The question is, are you living it? Colossians 2:6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Again, there's our theme for this morning, walking in it, our identity. So often we focus on so many other aspects of life. Occupation, mother, father, friend, appearance. We're just all these things we look at and we look to, right? We look to things and people for acceptance and affirmation, right? And it's exhausting, isn't it? Have you ever lived trying to just please somebody who can't be pleased? Oh gosh, don't look around. Maybe it was a parent, a grandparent, a child, a friend, a boss. The enemy wants us to live. He wants us to feel that way about God. God, maybe some of you didn't have great parents or don't or never had or whatever. It's like, you know, how can a father love? Remember, receive, not achieve. God's love is different. We sang it this morning. His love will never fail and it will never give up on you ever. He is chasing you, but some are running from him. And how can you receive this great love and understand what we're talking about this morning without a leap of faith and a step of faith towards King Jesus? Freedom and rest and fulfillment are found in Christ alone. It is unfilling and ends in bitterness to try to constantly achieve the things of this world, the things of the acceptance of others. It's exhausting. There is rest. When Jesus said, come to me, if you're burdened, if you're just tired, he says, I'll give you rest. He does offer that. We don't just talk about it. If you aren't living in that this morning and life is exhausting you, listen to me. You're living in an identity crisis. You need Jesus. You need to come back to Jesus. You need to lay some stuff down at the feet of Jesus and say, take this. I can't handle it. I'm exhausted. Life can be exhausting. If your identity is wrapped up as a parent, what happens when your kids act out? What happens when they disappoint you? Because they will. What happens when they get in trouble? What happens when they don't want to come to church or talk about Jesus? Then your identity is just, oh gosh. And it's probably besides following Jesus, the most important thing you can do on planet Earth is be a good spouse and a good parent. But for that to be your identity is not good. So many people have identified in someone else, and then that person leaves them or something happens. It can be in a job or a career. What if there's an economic downturn? What if something unforeseen happens? If your identity is wrapped up in that, you're going to be disappointed. I've seen so many divorces and unhappy and unhealthy marriages because the one person is always blaming the other person, or they're looking at them for their happiness and their identity, and that's not God's design. You know what? Where great marriages are stemmed out of? Two people in love with and trying to walk daily and be rooted and identify with Jesus, and that bleeding into their marriage. There's the secret. And pray together. The divorce rate, again, is under 1% for two born-again, church-going people who pray together daily. It's under 1%. Pray with each other. Without a firm foundation in Christ, what will eventually happen? Jesus talked about it in Matthew 7. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine," all the stuff we've said this morning, the word of God, "and doesn't do them, is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." See, we change and are, again, we're just tossed around by so much stuff, right? And if we try to place our identities in anything outside of Jesus, anything at all, and that's probably a lot of you here today, maybe, anxiety and depression and insecurity abound because we're not rooted in Christ, which is what you were made for, right? If you take a gasoline engine and you put diesel in it, what happens? It's not running by its design or at all. Some of you here today are not running or not at all, right? The good news is enough. For God so loved the world. What's John 3:16? For God so loved the world. God just didn't love. He so loved. So if I text my wife, and sometimes, most of the time, she says, "I love you" back. It's amazing. Thumbs up. If she texts me, "I just want you to know I love you so much." That "so much" puts me on cloud nine. God didn't just love you. God so loved you and does today. Ephesians 2 reminds us he saved us by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. A gift. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I want to pray with you. Father, in Jesus' name right now, I pray anybody that whatever it might be, they don't know you or need to come back to you or need to say, "Lord Jesus, just change my identity. This is too heavy for me to carry. I've been through too much. I want to lay it down at your feet this morning." They would have the courage in just a moment when we sing to come forward and be prayed with. And you will bless that humility. You promise that you give favor to the humble. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to ask you this morning, if you're chasing artificial highs, if you're chasing things other than Jesus, I would ask that you would trade that in this morning for a life of freedom. A life of freedom in Jesus. And if you're like, "I don't think I can come forward and pray. I don't know." See that number on the screen? Right now, today, before you leave or when you leave, I want you to text two words that says, "I'm ready" to that number right there. Text, "I'm ready." It says 217-219-1238. Kind of hard to see. Just text, "I'm ready." I'm ready to start identifying as Jesus's. I'm ready to lay this other stuff down. I'm ready to get back to being right with Jesus. If you've already done this morning and you're already a Christian, but maybe it's just time to move along or get back to that first love, to living out this identity in Christ, come and pray this morning or text, "I'm ready." Let's talk about what that looks like. What do you need to work on? What's getting in the way? How are you living out and applying this identity in Christ in your daily life? One of the greatest passages in all of Scripture in history is in Matthew 16 when Jesus asks, "Hey, forget what other people say. Forget everything else." Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is this morning? And because of that, who are you? Whose are you this morning?" Whatever it is today, maybe you need to give your heart or life back to him. Would you stand as we prepare to sing this morning? He loves you. That's it. He loves you so much. He has such good for you. And it's time as a church to see revival, to see restoration, to see things that make our families and workplaces and community talk about what in the world is going on at that church of God. I'll tell you what's going on. Jesus is going on. And we're doing it. Let's get to more of it. Let's be real with God this morning as we respond, as we pray, as we text a response. I'm ready. I'm ready, King Jesus, for you to set this life of mine free. Whatever I've been through, whatever I'm going through, I lay it down. I just want to be yours, or I want to be yours again. Would that be your prayer this morning as we sing?